Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the September 14 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, Ellen Dearden of AgriView from Morton, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up online. Listen to any of our programming every day of the business week at willag.org. You can always find us, too, in iTunes, on the NPR One app, Stitcher, and of course the Google Play Store. Now, let's begin our discussion for the day. I think we probably should start with reaction from each of you to USDA's release of the Crop Production World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report on Tuesday. Dan, they raised both the corn and soybean yields. Did that surprise you very much?
Well, I guess I've been around long enough. Nothing surprises me anymore. But yeah, you know, generally speaking, I thought, you know, from what we had heard that maybe they might come down a little bit on the soybean, or I mean the corn yield. Soybeans was kind of a maybe, maybe not type situation. So I guess, you know, I wasn't shocked by no means. I think the market probably maybe overreacted to it. And I think the way the market has performed since that report tells you that it probably did overreact a little bit to the bearish side.
Ellen Dearden, your thoughts initially?
I didn't really have a strong feeling one way or the other on the corn side of things, but I thought they might raise the bean yield just a hair based on finding a lot of pods on the central I states on some of these later tour groups.
And Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting.
You know, all along, I guess I thought they were a little bit high on corn, you know, especially after going on the tour. I would agree that with Farm Journal, you know, that essentially it wasn't a bad crop by any means, but maybe it would have been scaled back. But, you know, like I was talking to you earlier on the closing market report, all the early yield reports that I was getting from producers, both on corn and beans, were actually pretty impressive as compared to expectations. So, you know, at the last minute, you know, there Tuesday morning, I guess I told several producers, I thought my fear was that, yeah, we were going to go ahead and scale up just a little bit on yield. I wasn't surprised at all, you know, basically due to a lot of those reports that I heard, you know, that maybe USDA wasn't so far off after all.
And of course, we're recording this on a Thursday afternoon. We still have the Friday to trade to go through for the week. However, during the closing market report, Matt, when I talked to you, suggested producers who might be in the field early and harvesting soybeans take advantage of this to sell unpriced crop and just run it across the scale for beans. Why did you do that?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that producers that I've talked to that were pleasantly surprised with yields. Whenever they look at those yields at, you know, price levels that we're looking at today across the scales, I think locally we can get about 9.45. That kind of price times the yield these guys are talking about is definitely in the black for 90% of the people I'm talking to. Whereas when you talk about corn yields that guys have early on, even though they're pretty good, at this cash price, I don't know too many guys that feel all that rosy about their profitability. So, you know, if I was going to – both markets have carry. If I was going to sit here and try to decide which one I'm going to store in the bin at home, I can pay a lot more bills with 10,000 bushels of beans than what I can 10,000 bushels of corn. If I'm already profitable, it's not such a bad idea to go ahead and move them. If I want to re-own them later, I can do so.
I know there's some – a little bit of disparity, I think, between you and Dan Zwicker based on some of the technical things you're seeing. At least that's what I think I heard Thursday afternoon, Dan, from you. Can you walk me through both the corn and the soybeans and technically, especially the soybeans, where they might be standing at on this Thursday afternoon?
Well, I have to be real friendly toward the soybean complex based upon the technical price action that I see. Basically, since the end of August when we made our low in soybeans, the market has been in a higher trend of making higher highs and then the higher lows. And then today, Thursday here, with today's surge, we did take out last week's high. So we then posted a solid close above the 38% retracement level of the summer decline. And since we were up there at the 38% retracement level here a week ago, then slid back and now back above, I guess I'm in the camp that the next technical target for November soybeans would be to rally back toward the 62% retracement level, which is up there against the $10 level. The other way you could look at it would be take the midpoint of the decline that we had from last week's high to the crop report low, take the midpoint of that and swing that off of the August low, and that also gives you a target on November soybeans to maybe try to go back into the 990s or up against the 10 level. So that, you know, I have to be somewhat encouraged from a technical perspective. Also, from a seasonal perspective, it appears to me soybeans are in a counter seasonal trend. September is a very strong month to the downside. And if a market is able to go against or be able to swim upstream when the seasonals go back in its favor, then you could have a pretty good push higher as you go on into the month of October. So that's it from a technical side. I know the fundamental balance sheet looks terrible, but we've kind of known that for some time. And I guess But the market, I think, tells me that it knows something that maybe somebody else doesn't know about it, the way we were rallying today.
Ellen, do you have a lean one way or the other on the soybeans?
I would agree with Dan. I'm looking to make some off the combine sales for guys up against that $10 level. I've been telling them 992, 997, somewhere in that vicinity. I think one of the things that you know, we need to consider, too, is that we've had five straight days now of soybean sales made out of the U.S. And I know the river market's been a pretty strong market for beans, and there are several houses that are only taking beans in this week. That says to me there's some kind of a export book down at the Gulf that needs to be filled.
Is it highly unusual at this time of year? I thought soybean sales really started to jack up during the fall in general.
They usually do, but we typically see in this peak in Peoria area, we see a lot of business for stuff being shipped out of the Gulf in December and January. And maybe this has kind of moved forward, and part of that, trying to take some shipments now in anticipation that some of this dryness in South America and Brazil may last a little longer than usual into October, and planting would be delayed there.
So you would think this would be a short-lived rally in that case?
A front-loaded type situation again. I think that we are finishing up a five-wave up move in beans with another 25-cent upside.
Yeah, so both you and Dan are 25 cents higher at this point. That's not a very big range or not a big push. So you're willing to wait that out, I suppose. Do you each think farmers have done a pretty good job of selling up front and they simply can wait until they begin to harvest to bring sales across the scale then?
My feeling is people ought to be just ready with some offers in place. And even if they don't want to make sales for November delivery, you can bump those up with a dime higher or maybe 20 cents higher by making sales for Dece or Jan.
I never want to talk a farmer out of making sales because there's always a reason why he wants to make a sale. So, I mean, he's the one that knows what his financial situation is. But the one thing, too, I think is supporting the beans is, I mean, the soybean market is where the shorts are at. I mean, we spent all spring talking about, you know, 500, 600 million bushel carryouts and, you know, sharply lower prices. And so that is where the shorts are at. Corn, there aren't any shorts in corn. Yeah, that's why it's kind of got a dead cat bounce down here. It did find support here in the 350-ish area, 345, I guess, was our low on Tuesday. We haven't made any significant retracements yet of the decline that we had during the summer. And I think also, based upon old crop corn supplies, one would have to think that, you know, we might find a bearish number in that September 30th report that we may have more corn inventory around than what USDA has on the books. And then if this year's crop is up to what USDA says it is, we're in deep voodoo. You know, we're back to 2.5 billion bushel carryout, and it's going to be very difficult for corn to have any significant price strength unless something happens around the world that would argue some demand coming in here.
Well, Dan, you just gave me 15 days to market soybeans.
Well,
at least that's...
Well, I don't know. Soybeans, I mean, like I said, that's where the shorts are at. We're not carrying over the carryover that we thought we were going to carry over a year ago. As Ellen mentioned, you know, we've had several straight days of China purchases of soybeans. You know, I do think Terry Branstad, being the China ambassador, is over there trying to encourage China to probably buy more U.S. goods to help the trade balance. I know North Korea has kind of put a kink in some of that plans, but I think eventually, you know, it was supposed to be, I think Trump was going to be the bad guy, Terry Branstad would be the good guy, and we kind of go back and forth and maybe underneath. But I do think, you know, China has to figure out a way to narrow the trade deficit. So I think they may end up buying more soybeans from the U.S., shift some of that demand from South America to the U.S., and that could be supported to the soybean complex, at least in the near term here.
Just a reminder to listeners, Terry Branstad, of course, the former governor of Iowa, and he is the Trump administration's ambassador now to China, and would be responsible in part for some of the trade there. Matt Bennett, you've been listening quietly. What do you think of this conversation so far?
Oh, I don't have any issue with anything that they're saying as far as the technicals on soybeans, and I would agree. I guess, as you know, I mean, whenever I'm working with my clients, 90% of what we try to do is we look, you know, at what our break-even price scenarios are. And, you know, at this point, obviously, we've got a different situation on corn than what we do soybeans. Now, granted, you know, if it's going to be a bearish situation, which it looks like it possibly could be, as Dan is alluding to, obviously you want to maximize your revenue on soybeans. But at this point in the game, I do feel like there's a few things to me long term that could provide some support to the corn market. I do think both corn and beans could see better days ahead. But whenever I look at corn, you know, it sure seems to me, and a lot of the information's coming out that you know, you're going to see reduced acreage out of Brazil this year, maybe substantially reduced as far as on a percentage basis. And so, you know, what's that going to do long term to us? Are we going to be looking at a stocks tightening scenario finally instead of a stocks building scenario? And so, you know, I guess as a producer, I'm wanting to make sure I use my bin space when the market is essentially telling me that I need to be storing on corn. I know it's telling me the same thing on beans, but I'm talking about a producer who needs money. And we all know that most producers at this point are a lot tighter on cash than what they've been in the last several years. So a lot of guys are asking me, which one do I sell, corn or beans? And so I guess my opinion on that, based upon the way that I look at things. probably going to lean more heavily towards beans than corn.
When you say reduced acreage for Brazil, you're referring to corn acreage and not soybean acreage.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, and I agree with Dan. I mean, geez, you know, this world's got all kinds of beans. We know that. We've known that for a while, but we just keep throwing them at them. I've had people say, well, you know, if we've got a 475 carryout, man, that's bearish. I said, well, you know, you've got a 50 bushel national yield times 90 million acres almost, and you're still only talking a 475 carryout. I mean, you've got to understand that from a demand perspective, that's saying this demand's phenomenal. So if you get any supply hiccup anywhere around the world, obviously you'd want to have some sort of a play in place where you could take advantage of that, because we could see a pretty sharp rally in that situation.
Ellen Dearden, anything from you again on soybeans? Otherwise, if you could look into the grain stocks report and demand for corn for me and where you think it might all land.
I'm worried about the grain stocks report and corn. I know USDA always has some difficulty with commingling early harvested corn bushels with old crop, but I think that this corn stocks number could be pretty strong. And again, all it's going to do is keep corn locked in the sideways, I think. You know, when we look at demand on soybeans, we all can agree that demand is really super. When we look at demand on corn, I think we have to think demand is building, it's growing, and it's still decent. And with increasing livestock numbers, that ought to perk up further drawdown in global coarse grain stocks. And already we've seen a pretty big drawdown there. So I'm a little bit negative on the corn to get past this grain stocks report. But my assumption is that further down the road, we're going to see the corn yield probably come down. And I guess one of my questions is whether corn acres, also harvested acres, will drop.
And are you of a mind that they will?
Yeah, I think they could come down, and those corn acres will be in multi areas, but not necessarily in the central corn belt.
What's your thought then, Dan, as you look at the technical side of the corn market?
For the time being, you probably have to say that maybe this 345 area, that we, the low that we had here a couple weeks ago or end of August, it was August 31st, and then we tested that low there after the crop report, and we've been able to, you know, we closed in the mid-range there on Tuesday, and then we've been able to kind of make a small advance from that. My key here would be to go above last week's high point, which is up there around 361.5 or 362. If we could kind of clear that level, technically, it would open the gates, you know, maybe something back into the 370s. If we find, once with the combines really get rolling, we find out that maybe this yield really isn't there, and there is a chance of that. There has been significant declines between the September report and January, and we're kind of due for one of those. Then you could maybe talk about a full 50% retracement, which is probably, you know, up in the 380s. I think that's probably on the wish list at this point. But you could maybe argue a double bottom in the 350-ish area. But the first thing that's got to happen is we got to get some good solid closes above the 362, 363 area. And then that begins to open up the gates then for, you know, maybe another 10 to 20 cents.
Is there hope in the wheat market at all? And am I reading this right? Are we having, at this point, an outside up week?
Yep, we sure are. And I thought the wheat market looked like it. It put in a pretty solid low here this week. And again, it looks kind of like the corn chart. We look like we have double bottoms there, testing that late August low. So I was very encouraged with the wheat. I thought wheat probably offered a little bit of support to the corn market this past week. One thing I'll throw out on the corn is that we haven't even been able to take out the 20-day moving average. Corn, December corn, just seems to slide right down that. I went back and looked. It's been since the middle of July since we've been above that 20-day moving average in deuce corn. I'd love to see it close up in the low 60s like Dan would, but we have to overtake this 20-day moving average first, and that's right at 356 and three quarters.
Any reason to believe that we can drag it along?
Drag along corn. Beans are trying to do that right now. We just need some kind of a spark in this corn market, and we've not seen a lot of influence in outside capital coming into corn. There's no sizzle there like there is in beans.
What are the fundamentals looking like for corn, Matt Bennett?
Well, you know, whenever you look, for instance, at the ending stocks, I mean, obviously it looks like after the report the other day, if the yield does stay the same, that we're going to be looking at similar ending stocks a year from now, what we just got, done with from the 16-17 marketing year. But, you know, I guess there's a couple of things. I kind of feel like even though there's some really good corn, there is a chance that we could see this corn yield back off a little bit, first of all. So I would agree maybe with what Dan Sima was there. And then as far as Ellen's comment about harvested acreage, I believe, and I've said all along, that I think that harvested acreage would come down just a little bit. So, and I think whenever you look at what some of the weakness we've seen lately in the dollar, I know it's bounced around a little bit yet this week, but I do think that maybe we will be a little more competitive on the world market than maybe what some of us are giving us credit for, especially late in the marketing year. If we see the Brazilians back off on their corn acreage, you know, it might end up getting into the export program later on in the marketing year to where, you know, who knows, maybe we could get a little bit of surprise and we don't back off near as heavily on corn exports as what the USDA is suggesting. So, you know, I'm not buying into the 2.3 carryout right now. If I was betting, I would definitely bet the under on that, although I don't want to get too crazy on any numbers right now. I just don't think that it's going to come in too awfully close to where we came in on the 16-17 carryout.
And finally, before I get to final word from each of you, there has been some discussion among many of the brokers we talked to during the closing market report about looking forward into 2018, especially for some kind of corn marketing plan. Have you thought very much about that? Matt, I'll start with you.
Yeah, you know, last weekend I was just writing about that a little bit. We closed DS18 at 398. So I said, you know, if you're a producer who wished you would have locked in a little more corn basis the board at 398, you know, it's something worth taking a look at to get started. And there's, you know, there's some more creative tools you can look at from over-the-counter products. I know ADM's been pretty aggressive in Central Illinois talking about, some of their different products that they can use where you get a little bit of a premium over the board. And I think that we as producers need to be a little more well-versed in some of those products and maybe use them on a portion of the farm anyway. Yes, definitely, I think both corn and beans, I think there are opportunities to at least get started. I don't want to get overly aggressive at this stage of the game, but I do want to get started at some of these price levels, seeing what the carry is on out to next year.
Yeah, I've been investigating that. From a cash standpoint, it's pretty difficult to find anybody with a bid for fall or December, January 2019 on the corn or bean side of things. But I'm definitely looking at the 410 area on the December 18 futures as a place to do some hedges. I'd like to see the November beans back up over 1010 before I even would consider that. But again, I like the looking at things pretty early in the marketing year. I don't think I want to be locked into a flat cash price, however.
It's going to have to be a weather issue to take us higher in 18. I think the odds are increased to have a weather issue since this year we turned out not really having much of an issue since we got average yields. So I still think there's increasing chances of adverse weather, but that's about the only thing, or maybe some weather problems in South America that would maybe kick up a storm. But as long as we have the current farm policy in place, acres are going to stay high. And if Mother Nature is cooperative, we're going to continue to build stocks. And it's just going to be real difficult to get commodities to do much. Maybe the outside bright spot is the dollar has retraced 38% of its advance over the past several years. If this 38% retracement doesn't hold, then we can maybe get the dollar back down into the middle 80s. All of a sudden, maybe export demand is more of a boom for ag commodities in U.S. whatever it was ever made in U.S. And I think there's a good chance that that dollar will continue to weaken. Washington has proven time in and time again that they can't stop spending, and our debt keeps getting larger. So eventually, that's going to come back and haunt us with a major currency devaluation at some point in time.
Shall I take that as your final word, too?
Yeah, pretty much sums it up, I think.
Matt Bennett, your final word for the day.
Yeah, I think coming into harvest, obviously, one of the main things I always want to stress is hope everyone has a really safe harvest and productive harvest. I know that there's going to be a lot of variability. Emotions are going to run high for a lot of folks, but definitely want to be staying as current as what we possibly can, looking at our total farm profit and trying to maximize that as much as possible. If you get a profit, be taking advantage of it. You know, there's always a lot of things we can do from a risk management standpoint later, like I was talking before.
And Ellen Dearden.
I want to remind people that China came up with a statement this week that in 2020 they will have mandate an E10 program. They're the third largest producer of ethanol, and their goal is to take their crummy corn stocks and make ethanol out of it. I think in the very short term, they'll still be importers of ethanol. It'll be interesting to see whether that program can ramp up in 2018.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Listen to us in iTunes, the NPR One app, on Stitcher, and in Google Play. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois, and from Waco, Texas, Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting. You can always hear the whole of our programming online. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.